A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 199.
Yes.
We're in St. Andrews.
We are.
Today's episode, we've got some very special guests all the way from USA, Bob Does Sports.
It was insightful and it was eye-opening.
We've already done the interview, so you're going to find out how Bob Does Sports started, the characters. So we've got Bobby Berger, Fat Perez, that's nicknamed himself, and Joey Cold Cuts, three real kind of characters in their own right, but when put together, they blend unbelievably well.
I've watched their videos for a while. I know you have as well. Yesterday, we filmed with them for the first day. They are, you can see why they're so successful.
So they've got a YouTube channel that started about 18 months ago. They're absolutely smashing it, over 500,000 subscribers already, which is great. We've invited them over to Scotland for a week of filming together. We've got loads of amazing golf courses lined up, loads of videos coming your way. So that's the interview today, but in more breaking news.
Big news.
We've teased about it for a long time. The live show, the live podcast, Friday, the 13th of October,
yes,
in Manchester at my home golf course, Worsley Park Marriott.
Correct.
We've managed to get an incredible room with just shy of 300 fans can come along and experience me and Guy and a few special guests. Now the tickets go live today, Wednesday, the 23rd of August at 2 p.m. UK time. Now, in the description of this video, you'll see the link. That won't be live yet till 2 p.m. today.
It's going to be a good one. We've got a cool room. It's going to be kind of a nice number of people in the sense that it'll feel busy, but quite intimate.
Yeah.
We've done two live shows so far. We did Manchester a couple of years ago. We did London. They're great. It's a nice chance to meet people, to have a bit of a laugh. I'm super excited. It's at the Marriott. So if people want to stay over, there's the option. They've done as a reduced rate. So people can stay Thursday night or you can stay Friday night, maybe go and get a round of golf again at Rick's home golf course. You might get boozy, I'm sure.
I will definitely get boozy.
I might have a couple of ciders, let my hair down a little bit.
I think it's only right.
They said a few special guests to party. It'll be just a good chance to meet people in the clubhouse, have a good laugh, celebrate 200 episodes, celebrate 4 years of the podcast.
Yeah, so it won't be quite the 200th episode. It'll be a few episodes after that. Friday, the 13th of October, 2023. Get your tickets today, Wednesday, the 23rd of August, using the link below. Tickets go on sale 2 p.m. Be fast. The £20 per ticket.
That's cheap.
Too cheap.
It is too cheap.
You actually agreed to that price. Anyway, thanks for watching. Enjoy this fantastic chat with the guys from Bob Does Sports. All right, guys, we're in St. Andrews.
Yeah, we are.
Hey?
What a world.
Who would have thought it?
Not me.
Bringing you three guys from Bob Does Sports here to Scotland for an epic week of filming.
Yes.
And today, we're playing the old course.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Felt like Christmas morning.
Waking up. This morning. Yeah. Couldn't sleep last night. We were so jazzed up about it. Walking it the other day, kind of got us ready to roll. It's special.
I'm very privileged and honored, and I think everyone here as well. We can't wait to see how you guys, almost the emotions on the first tee. Because I don't think there's a golf course in the world like it, where it's like, this is it. This is the home of golf. Yeah. Like, you know, and this, you get feelings on that first tee, even though the fairway is as wide as you can imagine. You get some funny feelings on that first tee.
I was standing on that first tee. It's great. I keep looking at that 17th tee with that window. I'm fascinated by it because it's such a... I got a little draw and I was just on the tee box just looking at that window. I mean, it's going to be a ride. I can't wait.
So you guys have absolutely been smashing it How long has the YouTube channel been going for now?
I think about a year and a half now. It feels like 5 years, but yeah, I think about a year and a half.
Wow. Yeah. And where did that... I'm sure you might have told this story before on another podcast, but it'd be great for our listeners. How did that all come about? How did that start? Because it feels like it's been a very unusual journey to get to where you are now.
Yeah. I mean, I think initially the channel, the idea was not intended to be a golf channel at all. It was... the name origin, Bob to Sports, was Bob was supposed to be like man on the scene and go to different sporting events and interview different people at like World Series games or football games or different things like that and get funny content like that. And he was doing it for what, Bob? Probably a couple months like that.
Yeah, I'd say a few months we were doing it.
Yeah. And it was so cool. And one time I remember he called me and he couldn't make it to something. And he said, you know, why don't we just film a golf episode for this week for Bob to Sports instead of going on the thing? And we used to film and have fun and play golf and just do it on our phones. Like it was very low tier. Not, it was no production value at all. But then we finally had a cameraman and we had a GoPro on the cart cam. And it was like the first time we ever did it. And it went really well. And like, I think it was like probably, I would say, Bob, one of the best episodes that we had done up to date, that he had done up to date. So he was like, we should just run it back. And then we started doing that more regularly. And then it just kind of, everybody just saw like the opportunity that was there and how good it could be. And then it just kind of transformed. And we just, you know, eventually they said, you know, we'd like to bring you on, Joey, for the, you know, with the channel, and you and Bob would do it. And that was before we had this legend here with us. And then once we got him, it was like game over. But it's weird, no, Bob, just to think about like, It seems like an eternity ago, like he said, that happened, but it really, it's not been that long at all.
No, it really hasn't.
It wasn't sustainable either. Like if we were going to be going, we were going to be going to different stadiums and I would be like interviewing different fans and stuff like that. And it was good, but to get a video out every week, it wasn't sustainable going to different cities week to week just to get one video a week. We just never would have been able to do it.
Wow. You know what's mad? I mean, we follow golf YouTube a lot. Like I would say we're somewhat obsessed with golf YouTube. And we've watched a lot of channels come and go. And I remember when I first kind of caught your channel, I was like, whoa, these guys are filling a niche that's not been filled yet. Like bringing that humor, bringing those personalities, bringing a level of good golf, but also a mixture of bad golf.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you don't mind me saying that.
No, not at all.
It was that level of humor that I don't think has been filled before.
And I think as well, what's changed so much over recent years is how YouTube and golf YouTube has kind of matured, that you guys in a year, in 18 months, let's say, have gone from nothing to like over 500,000 subscribers. That was not achievable back in the day, was it? It would take years and years. If you come out with a good product and you're filling that niche like you guys have, it's crazy the growth.
I don't know really. I'd love to look into the stats. I probably should know it off by heart a bit more. I don't think a channel's ever got to 500,000 subscribers in golf as quick as you guys.
Wow.
No.
I don't think they would have done. And video after video, you're getting comfortably hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. And you've got to think to yourself, like, I mean, one of my favorite videos that you guys did was the Max Homer video when you had Max on. And you seem to make these guys outrageously comfortable as well in the content. Like he was knocking on the door shooting a 59 that day, which is pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, even like a guy we were talking about on the going to the course yesterday, you guys have seen it. You guys have been in the game so long. So it was interesting to kind of get your perspective on it of just how much has changed and how much different channels that there are now. And for us, yeah, I mean, to have these guys on is crazy. And then I think what's really been cool, I know at least for me, and I think I speak for the guys too, is like to get it to the point where I think it benefits these guys, these pros to come on the channel.
Yeah.
That's a really, really cool place to be with it. That now guys want to come on the channel. That to me is awesome.
Well, that's what we notice a lot, that obviously as more and more of these guys understand in YouTube and what it can do to them, it gives them a platform to showcase their personality. And that's sometimes the downside for me with golf. Is that you can watch a guy, he might shoot 63, great, but you just see them hit a shot, they might do a very scripted interview afterwards. But when you see people on our channel or on your channel and they're being themselves and showing the humor, I think that is what really creates more hardcore fans. I think they're definitely opening up to it now.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And I think Max Homa, as an example, you know, is a great video, but I think most people knew from his Twitter and other things he does on social media that he's a funny guy and a guy you'd like to hang out with. But a guy like Keegan Bradley is a great example of a guy that on the course during a tournament is very intense, right? Mm-hmm. The way he side eyes putts, and having him on our channel and kind of opening up for a casual round of golf, the comments that we saw, probably he saw as a result of that, of like, I didn't realize how much I like this guy, like what a laid back, chill dude. And, you know, it in the beginning, I think when we wanted to have these guys on, you're sort of, you know, without any examples of what videos can do for them, you're sort of saying, hey, this is what it'll look like. Mm-hmm. Trust us. Come on. But, you know, the more that we've had these guys on and the reception to those videos become, I would think, a little bit easier to you know, talk to these guys about, hey, like, you want
to
run it?
You've got
like
those Keegan case did. Studies to showcase.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Which golfer do you think would be best in one of your, like, your food challenges or one of your drinking challenges? Who's on the hit list?
It's got to be John.
John Rahm, when we played with him, we did a couple holes. And we did a funny, like, behind the scenes thing with Callaway, where they showed some of the stuff that we did. And one of the clips that they showed him was us doing our taco challenge. And he kind of was like, I could do that. Like, when I went to ASU, I used to eat like 12 tacos at Jack in the Box every night. So like someone like him, when we got lucky enough to play a couple holes with him, he has such a presence and he's so fun. And like, he's a typical guy that I don't think he's kind of misunderstood. And I think, like, having him on, I think he'd really open up. He was really fun to be around and play with. And if we did something like that with him, I think it would just break the internet.
This guy might have been hinting at another John who actually did very well.
John. John Daly.
That'd be terrific. Yeah.
That's pretty right down the middle drinking challenge there.
Around the old course where he won in 95.
One thing I'm looking forward to, though, so your videos now and videos are very different. I think that's pretty obvious. And it's great to have this collaboration week. Rick is obviously quite a traditional PGA pro. Our videos are somewhat quite clean cut.
I don't even wear my hat backwards.
No, yeah. Never.
I'm really clean.
On the podcast, however, the podcast listeners will know, and the hardcore podcast listeners, Rick lets his hair down a bit more. And it's often spoken about when he's had a few drinks, he goes from Rick into Ricky.
Ricky yesterday.
I think it's tomorrow you're filming the video I'm going to come on to. Was it the day after?
Tomorrow, yeah.
You are going to be playing. This is on your channel. So everyone listening and watching, make sure you go and head out and watch this video when it's out. You're doing a Guinness challenge. And I'm a little bit concerned for Rick. But I'm also very, very excited to see Ricky in full flow on your channel.
You don't need to worry about
Let's explain
my friend.
What's happening tomorrow.
We play 9 holes. And we're doing a Guinness on every tee, right?
Yes.
Oh my God.
A can of Guinness, or we'll have to get pint glasses.
Yeah, because you said you can't do it out of the can, right?
No, it's that would cause a lot of issues.
So that's going to be 9 Guinnesses.
Yeah.
And how many can you tolerate, Rick?
In a normal drinking session, which isn't just 2 hours long, I think I can do 9 quite comfortably.
Yeah.
It's the duration.
Yes.
Nine holes.
What sounds the golf as well?
Yeah, the golf is what creeps up on you too, because a lot of times we'll complete like the drinking or eating challenge, but then you have to break a score and a scramble, and you're so focused on the challenge itself that you forget about the golf.
I think there'll be a sweet spot around the third or fourth hole.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then I think it'll go
it'll be nice. It's a very sharp decline on the backside.
I know you guys enjoy a beer, and I missed the big night out you had a couple of days ago. I was at home. I've obviously
that was just a starter.
But I'll be honest, I put my money on Rick. He can't put it away.
Oh, I think he's going to be fine. I don't worry. I've seen him go, just watching him go. I don't worry about him the slightest bit.
We'll figure out on Thursday when we've got another filming session going on at King's Barnes. That's going to be interesting. But luckily, all the tea times are late. You hinted at it before, Joey. You brought in Fat Perez into the channel. I do know this story, but I'd love to hear it from you guys and the listeners. I'm sure would love to hear it as well.
Yeah, during COVID, I was working for another company, and we were doing these happy hours, and there was really nothing to do. Everybody was in home, and we did a Patreon, which is, I'm sure you guys know, behind a paywall. So for the people that, you know, really listened to the podcast and loved it, the diehards, they would pay monthly to get an additional podcast, and then we would do a happy hour. So we would do a weekly happy hour where it would be on Zoom and we'd all be drinking. We would be running the show from then. We would bring different guests on and whatnot.
I was going to say, what type of show? Is it more like a comedy show, interview show?
Yeah. So there's another podcast that we do called The Brilliantly Dumb Show. And it's like sports and comedy mix. So that's what it was for. And so we would do these happy hours weekly, and they were a blast. There was nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we would get hammered in it. We would just, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing it. So we were on one, and I could see everybody on the Zoom. So we're in the middle of the happy hour, and everybody's drinking, and I get a text from Joe. And you know when you go onto Zoom, it says the name of the person on there? Joe texts me. He's like, "Do you see this fat Perez guy?" So I look up, and there's this guy in his cubicle, and like he's clearly in an office setting. Like he's clearly at work, and he's just mowing down pizzas and beers, just mowing them down. And so I'm like, "All right, we got to go. We're gonna go over to this fat Perez guy." And he comes on, and his first line just out of the gate, he just steals the show. Like, it was just all the show. And then at the end of the show, we always did, like, an MVP. So out of the fans that came on, we gave an MVP, and he won it by a landslide. And he kept coming on, and he kept coming on. What was the first line that you said when we went to you?
The first time I came on, I wasn't drinking, but I was eating. And I was sitting in a cubicle, and they're like, you guys were like, Fat Perez, like, cheer, give us a cheers. The happy hour, and I said, "Well, my asshole manager drank all my beer, and the kid, I guess it's his kitchen, but it's my beer." We had a little, like, you know, drink a beer, leave a beer type of a system at work, and he drank all the beer I brought in and didn't replace it yet. So I was like, "I'd love to give you cheers, but I can't. Keep it moving." And that was it.
That was it. That was it. The start of the legend.
Yeah. Then after he messaged me because we got to know him. And Bob and I were headed to Pinehurst for a golf trip. And he messaged me. He's like, "Hey, Cold Cuts, I'm going to be in Pinehurst. I heard that you guys are going there. Would love to connect with you guys and have a drink." So I was like, "Yeah, of course, man. Like, let's do it." So we met him after playing number four. We went and met him on the putting green. We went and had a drink, and he was so funny that we invited him to dinner. And dinner turned in. We didn't know at the time that he was a golfer. We didn't know that he was a big golfer.
No way.
So our friend at the time was like, "So do you golf?" He goes, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, what's your handicap?" He's like, "I'm like a one or two."
He dropped his fork.
And the guy that we were with was like, "There's no way." Like, he couldn't believe it. He was just could not believe that he was. He's like, "Yeah, I kind of am." So he was like, "Well, we're playing number two," which anybody knows number two Pinehurst is like the best course.
So was he trying to catch you out at this point?
Yeah, he was like, "We're playing it tomorrow."
Yeah, he's like, "If you're really a two, like we've got a fourth spot tomorrow on two, be there and like show us." And it was a Monday. So I'd gone there. I just happened to be down there with my wife for the weekend. And then I saw that they were in North Carolina and going down there. So I had to convince her that it was reasonable for her to drive separate to Pinehurst. She's like, why on earth would I drive separate? It's 4 hours away. And I was like, "Well, I might meet up with these guys and I don't know, maybe, you know, it'll turn into golf or something. I don't want you to wait around on Sunday night."
That's very considerate.
Yeah. So they invited me to play. It was like Monday afternoon. You guys were playing 36, but I was like, "I have to work in the morning. Like, I can't play the morning round." So I had to like call my boss. You did like a cameo. Almost like a cameo for my boss. Yeah, because it was his birthday, and he was like, "Yeah, I guess my boss is around my age at the time, and or my boss at the time is around my age, and he was like followed Bob." So I was like, "If you do this video and just say it's your birthday and ask him if I can play with you, I might be able to pull this thing off." And that's exactly how it went down. And then I went out and I played pretty well. I think I shot like 74, 75 on two, and they just couldn't.
And he drank like 10, 11 beers.
Yeah, there's an old vlog on, is it on the Brilliantly Dumb Show?
Yeah.
YouTube, where it's like introducing Fat Perez, like just a phone vlog he did.
It's pretty wild. How the hell did you three end up being together?
We have to have this guy on the channel.
It's like, crazy.
So
how long from that point then did you become like a full kind of member?
For me, I think about this stuff sometimes because there's like little points where like it could have gone this way, it could have gone that way. Like, you know, the fact that they're across the country in North Carolina in Pinehurst the same weekend I'm there with my wife and just all, there's just little moments where like, it, you know, and I didn't think anything of it then. It was like, "Oh, that was cool. That was fun. You know, I'll keep talking to them, I guess." But they started to like that. This was even before Bob does sports.
Yeah.
This was before Bob does sports when I met them. And then he, started doing kind of the man on the street stuff. Then he came in, it started to be a golf channel. And, then you had a couple of videos that went viral, that Links of Victoria video where Joe thought he was going to Torrey Pines.
That was got taken to, you know, video.
Bit of a dog
for
track.
Those guys listening and watching. Bob was surprising Joey with, where was it, a trip to where?
Torrey Pines.
Torrey Pines. Yeah, it wasn't Torrey Pines. Really, was it?
It was like the worst course in LA. It was awful.
It's like a landfill. And there was bricks in the fairway. And he's a big golf enthusiast. So he was really excited. And we took him to, oh man, this course was, it's the worst I've ever seen by far. And he threw a fit.
Well, surprise, we're not playing the old course today.
Damn. I was really wanting to do that as a video. I just couldn't do it to you guys.
Gotcha. Yeah, just to get Bob back.
Hell of a, I deserve it.
Come back.
So I would say now, I mean, you've all got, I'm sure your fan favourites are probably, can relate to each one of you individually. There is a hell of a cult following for you, for you, Perez, where feels like you've got a real diehard fan base. Not that you guys haven't, but it does certainly seem like this kind of cult following that Perez has got. How does that make you feel?
I don't know. I'm for better or for worse, I'm the same person I've kind of always been. And I think the things that people latch onto about me were things that I probably apologized for in my normal life. So it's a bit bizarre to be kind of celebrated for things that my mom would, you know, just kind of rub her face about. So it's been like a crazy, surreal kind of whirlwind for me, I would say. I've always wanted to play golf for a living, you know, as a kid growing up. And, you know, I there was only one avenue for that when I was younger, and then that was over. So it's pretty crazy. I get to do exactly what I want to do, and people enjoy it. I don't know how to describe it.
What were you doing in the office cubicle all those years ago?
Eating pizza.
Yeah, that part-time pizza eater. I was an accountant. So I went to school for accounting and was in public accounting for a long time, and then got into sort of commercial real estate, kind of fund management stuff. It's very different.
How did that feel then, going from a proper job and quite a serious job to then kind of essentially quit it instead of going doing golf YouTube for a living?
Yeah, there was a crazy transition. I'm married as well, so that I probably would have jumped a little bit sooner, for right or for wrong. Yeah. But she had a few kind of checkpoints and rules for me to hit. And I think she wishes she had shot a little bit higher. So once I kind of hit those things, it's like, I think I'm out of here. And, I feel very fortunate and very lucky. And, I don't miss the Monday through Friday grinds.
We actually went and visited his office when we were in Virginia, and we met his old boss and like his colleagues, and they had roped off, I guess somebody took his actual cubicle now, but they kicked the guy out for the day and they put like a red tape around it. Like it was like a VIP section. And they put up like a Nick Stevie, AKA Fat Perez, and like had a whole thing. It was real. They were such nice people, and they were so like, I don't know. They were so cool about it. They were so proud of him. It was like, yeah, that's our Nick.
I go in there like once a month or so. I mean, the people I loved, like I miss the people. I don't miss the job.
Yeah.
But I still pop in there and say hi, and I don't know if they enjoy that or, you know, I'm rolling in with untucked shirt and sandals, asking them how the day is going, you know,
I've just been to Scotland.
It was for me, it was cool when it was time for both of them to leave their jobs to watch that process go down. Cause like his was wild. And then even Joe was working at the Four Seasons for Wolfgang Puck. So like, for him to take that leap to then go do it full time, and the conversations that we had back and forth when it was time for him to take the jump and do it. And same thing for Perez, to watch that kind of go down and then to watch it work out. Because I mean, even for me, it was a lot of pressure for me, because I was trying to get them to come on full time and I wanted it to work out. I mean, Bob to Sports at the time, it was far from, I mean, it wasn't doing great at the time. You know, it was still building. So to watch them take the jump and then to have it work out, because even like, I remember when Joe had to tell his parents that he was going to leave to do this full time, our parents have no idea at the time of what YouTube golf is. So it was new to them. So to watch them, you know, do it and then it work out was really, really cool.
It must have been a lot of pressure on you as well.
Yeah. Oh, I was feeling it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it really was. And you know, they had good things going. Like they never asked for this. They never it isn't like what they set out to do. Like it kind of just came like Paris is all the time. You never set out to go.
When I was hitting you guys up and, you know, I'd go Pinehurst to LA a few times. I was never like, this is my shot.
No, you were just a fan. You were just, just enjoyed what they were doing.
Yeah. And you know, COVID never happened, I would have never gone on a Zoom happy hour.
Yeah.
In my, you know, I'm going to go down to a normal happy hour, down the street at a bar. Right. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that just kind of lined up, but I never, even when we did our match with Foreplay, which is kind of the first time that I was with them, I wasn't thinking when I went that like, this would be my shot. Like if I can play well here, be funny, I've got a chance. I just thought this is going to be a crazy experience. I'll be able to show my kids like dad was on YouTube that one time, you know, like I never really thought anything of it.
Sorry.
I was gonna say, you know, what's crazy though, even though now again, YouTube's so established and it's matured so much, there's definitely something in the fact that a lot of the most successful channels, you know, Rick, Good, and you guys as well in particular, have all kind of been natural. And like you, Rick started off YouTube to become a busier golf coach. At the time, 11, 12 years ago, there was no such thing as monetization. It was to get more clients coming through. You know, if you look at Garrett, he was just doing trick shots in his garden on Instagram. It just became something different. And then you guys as well, it feels like the channels that do the best always start with the right intentions.
You can't force it. I think like our biggest asset is just the relatability of us golfing as friends. Like we have one guy who's really good and then a couple guys who can play okay, but can be pretty stinky at times too. And I think the thing is that like our friendship is the core of our channel and the interactions and just the fun that we have on the course. You can't script that. You can't make that up. And it's just, thankfully that's what we have and it's genuine and it's honest and people really like it for now. Hopefully it happens for a long time, but you can't, I think a lot of people also, if you try to go on YouTube, if you do it the wrong reasons and you're just trying to get numbers and do stuff, You're forcing it and it's just not going to turn out the way that you want.
With that in mind though, and again, we're kind of similar to that, but you guys must release a video and be like, look, you know, it's like a 5 out of 10 or it's not done very well. Do you get hard done by that or do you just feel like...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
As long as you're happy with the content, that's all that matters.
A little bit of both. I mean, we have an idea of what's, and I'm sure you guys do, before we release a video, we have a pretty good idea now of what we think is going to do.
Yeah, you get that feeling on the special ones, don't you?
Yeah. And I think it makes us feel like we're heading in the right direction. I don't think we've been shocked by a video doing great or a video doing poorly. So we, I feel like we kind of have the finger on the pulse of what we do, what our viewers want to see.
Yeah.
I think that day, you know, we'll always love to be shocked by a 1 out of 10 that we didn't think was going to be, but the day where we thought something would be really good and it's 10 of 10, you know, that's going to be kind of a head scratching day. And we really haven't run into that. We know for the most part what's going to work and what doesn't.
For everyone listening and watching on YouTube Studio, when you release a piece of content, it actually grades it between 1 and 10 of your last videos and how many views it's got. So if you're confused about what that little chat was about, here's a question for you, Perez. Have you ever met Pat?
No.
Pat Perez?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to him. I don't think, I probably DM'd him back a little while ago. I think we'll cross paths. I think it's kind of like one of those things that you see consistently in comments. You know, when's the Pat Perez versus Pat Perez coming? I think he's, you know, he is himself and a funny guy.
Yeah.
I think you think him and I would have a really good time.
That'd be amazing.
On the course and off the course.
I'd love to see that.
I feel like I want to meet him on, you know, in person on kind of equal ground and not necessarily through a DM.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, we kind of have some mutual acquaintances, I would say. So hopefully one day in Scottsdale or something, we cross paths and I think that'll be a funny day. I don't know how he feels about me, honestly. I've heard from some people that he thought I was kind of jabbing at him originally. And some people clarified that that wasn't the case. He's, you know, I'm just a fat guy, long hair. So I don't know how he feels about the whole thing.
Did you actually come up with the nickname?
No, I had some buddies back home, that gave me the name and I didn't particularly like it. But I'm glad it stuck.
You like it now?
Oh, I love it now. Yeah.
His email chain, it'll say, like on the bottom, there's a header and it says Fat Perez, the big guy, and then it's just like the logo of his.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
When I go to like airdrop him something, like the other day I was going to airdrop something and like the airdrop come up and it just said Fats MacBook. it's unbelievable. It really is.
You know, I'm interested in the style. You mentioned a minute ago about this kind of collaboration you did with Foreplay, and kind of Barstool Sports, et cetera, is huge in the US. I don't feel like we've got that in the UK. I feel like our...
Like create a network or something.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's ever transitioned over here as much, but it feels like it's huge over in the US.
They're doing more over here. They've got Paddy Pimlet, Paddy the Baddy and stuff. Barstool. Yeah. But it's not really, like you said, it's not as big, is it?
No.
It's weird.
You guys, what I appreciate with you guys is like you've, and I've said to you on the podcast before, you really are, you really pioneered the game, like one of the first ones, if not the first one to do it. And you're not bitter about other channels coming in and you're very open to the new style of how everything works and you're open to collabs. I know that we can contact you anytime and you would be willing to help us. So I appreciate how open you guys are to help another channel and adapting and adjusting to where it is now. And I think you appreciate it, even just talking to you about it.
I very much appreciate good content. Like, I know me and Guy are the same. Like you'll see a lot of channels. Like when I first started, I wasn't the first ever channel. There's probably about 4 or 5 channels doing it at the time. There's well over 2,000 YouTube channels now, golf YouTube channels. That's which is crazy. And you know, without sounding like I'm trying to word this in the right way, I like when creators come out with something different.
Original
content that really stands out, that you understand your space, that you kind of know your lane to some degree, but you also kind of extend it into that. Like I say, when I first saw it, I was like, God, these guys have hit that niche. And to be honest, I think when I first saw it, I thought, oh, I'd love to have collaborated with those guys, but I probably can't because I'm kind of a bit too professional and clean cut. But I think done in the right style, which obviously we are doing this week, it can work as a collaboration. But yeah, you know, I appreciate good channels that work hard, that bring out good content, that film it well. Like you guys straight out the block. And I think this is where there's pros and cons of starting 11 years ago when I started. You could release really terrible content and the content didn't need to be that special edited. Things like shot tracers were non-existent. That wasn't a thing. Where now when you come out with a channel, you've got to be all guns blazing straight from the off.
People expect it.
Yeah.
You've got to have good audio. You've got to have good visuals. You've got to have shot traces. It's like, whoa, like your thumbnails have got to be good. Your titles have got to be good. Mm-hmm. Where did you guys learn all that? How did that come about?
So that's actually, that's credit to our editor and producer, The Jet. He is unbelievable. So when we first started Bob Does Sports, he was working with me prior even on the Brilliant Dumb Show and all of that. And he just loves it so much. And Bob Does Sports, I think you said it the other day, and it's true. Bob Does Sports is like his baby. Like he is so in on it. And when we first started doing Bob Does Sports, a team that we partnered with, a media company called Doing Things Media, they hired with us YouTube experts that would teach us. We would have weekly calls.
All right.
And nice. They really teach helped. Us everything. You ever hear of the Fine Brothers?
No.
Yeah, they were like big on YouTube and whatnot. And every week we would have a call and we would release a video and then they would break down why things went a certain way, where we could have done better, what we're doing wow. good.
Even thumbnails too.
Yeah. Everything. And Jet just immersed himself in all of that and he soaked it all in and he's a machine. He's
become a YouTube expert in a short period of time.
Good.
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes what I love and hate about YouTube. It's the fact that you have to make a good thumbnail, a good title. You have to make it catchy. You have to make sure that there's parts of the video that are shorter than maybe you want them to be to keep retention. And I love that about YouTube. I also kind of hate it at the same time. You think,
this is just a really good video. It doesn't need a title. It doesn't need a thumbnail. Just watch the video because it's really good. Yeah. Like, you know,
because the old saying of don't judge a book by its cover doesn't align to YouTube.
That's the opposite of YouTube.
Yeah.
And then for you then, Bob, you know, your kind of career started as this brilliantly dumb.
Yeah.
You were working at hotels, weren't you, at the time?
Correct.
And how did that actually even come about? What was the whole idea with Brilliantly Dumb?
So I had been doing content even before I moved out to LA, like even the Vine days, I had been doing content all the time, like a lot of different comedy bits.
And what got you into, have you always been into comedy?
Yeah, I've loved doing videos and I've always, ever since I was a kid and even in high school, my friends would never understand. I always had a camera going and they never understood why. Mm-hmm. Used to drive them nuts, but I just loved it. And my thing is, you know, you're with your friends and you always say to yourself, I feel like every friend group has said to themselves, you know, we wish there was a camera rolling on us. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was like, I wanted to have a camera running. So when I was working at the hotel, I was doing content on the side. So when I first started at the hotel, I was doing overnight shifts. So I would have my videos filmed and then during the overnight, there really wasn't many people coming into the hotel. And
what were you doing in the hotel?
At the time, I was working the front desk.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was they call it the graveyard shift because there's nobody there. So during those hours, I would just spend them sending videos out to every channel you can imagine for them.
Your own videos?
Yeah. That's, I'd spend my
based
whole
on what?
Like different, like big channels, Barstool and all that, I would send them my videos to see if they would repost it.
But what were your videos at the time then?
Comedy videos, like a lot of comedy bits, like kind of like comedy sketches, what I put on my channel now. There wasn't any really golf at the time for me. It was really just that. So I'd spend my whole shift doing that and then it started to build up. And then I met him at the hotel. But
so you both started working at a hotel together?
We worked together.
Yeah.
And I had seen one of his videos before I even knew who he was. It was posted on Barstool and I sent it to my sisters and my brother and I said, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And it was him in a handicap stall bathroom and he has the camera pointed at him and then he pans it down and there's like two wheelchairs waiting to get in and it's like he doesn't know what he's going to do, how he's going to go out and face the fact that he's using their restroom. And it was hysterical. There's no words, but it's just like you could just sympathize and empathize with how stressed he was in that moment.
I was sweating.
And it was so funny. And then when we met.
It was real, yeah. And I just, that goes back to like everything was always filmed. And, you know, I'm taking a shit and all of a sudden like, I didn't even realize I was in the handicap stall and I looked down and there's wheelchairs lined up and I really started to sweat. I mean, I was really nervous, but my first instinct was to get the camera out and rolling.
Yeah. Cause the US cubicles are weird. Yeah, you can really see a lot.
Oh, yeah, underneath. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the first video I saw.
Really?
That's my buddy sent me that video and I followed him. So that's when I started following him.
Was that on Instagram then or Vine back then?
It
was
that's on Instagram.
So,
yeah.
So were you getting spotted at the hotel at this point? Had you kind of forged a bit of a following?
Yeah, it started to get a little strange because I got promoted to guest services manager and you're looking over a few different departments. So you have the bellman, valet, and the doorman. So I had about, I'd say roughly 40 people working under me that I was responsible for. So the Four Seasons, they were great, but they want you to be very buttoned up. And I wasn't that way. So my employees would see these videos that I'm doing. So it's hard to take it seriously when, you know, you got to pull them into the office for something or whatnot when they see me the night before doing something stupid.
How many kind of followers did you have at this point? Sorry, I'm trying to...
1,000 maybe?
Yeah, at the time, I mean, it was small. And then it started while I was at the hotel to build. And then Barstool contacted me to come work for them. And then that's when I realized I always wanted to get out to entertainment. And hotels is what was going to be that got... You meet so many people at the hotels and you shake so many hands that that was always going to lead me to some sort of entertainment with all the connections that you get. But yeah, it definitely started to get a little weird to where I would start to get recognized at the Four Seasons. And my employees looking at it, it was very bizarre to them that people are coming and asking me for a picture. And, you know, working at the hotels, it's about the guests. It's not supposed to be about you. So it definitely, it was a very bizarre time.
But I bet at that time you couldn't make any money from it, really.
No, really.
Yeah, I mean,
I told him, though, the first time I saw his page, he showed me, I said, what are you doing here? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, you're one of the funniest people I've ever met. Like, you need to get out of the hotel and go focus on comedy. I always thought that he would make it, and I would just enjoy hanging out with him. And and then he said to me, I was like, well, maybe I can help you with your stuff. He's like, no. When we started doing the golf stuff, he's like, you're hysterical. You have to be part of this. And like at the time, I didn't even really use social media. So he's like, you need to change your name because I call you Cold Cuts, and then I tag you in the video and it's just your name. Like nobody knows who you are and stuff. And that to me was weird. And the same thing then once the golf stuff started going on right before I quit, people would come into the Wolfgang Puck restaurant and I'd be taking photos with them during dinner service. Mm-hmm. And the staff would be like, what the hell's going on here? Like,
so what was your job at the hotel then?
I was, when I met him, I was the AGM of the restaurant.
Right.
And then I left, I went to Peninsula, and then I came back afterwards to the Four Seasons, and I was the assistant general manager of a Michelin star restaurant with Wolfgang Puck. So you could imagine very elevated service, very high expectations, people coming in spending a lot of money. And then like we're filming comedy skits and videos, and people like the staff knew about it and would watch and stuff. And it was kind of bizarre. It was like one foot in each different part of the different world, right? But I hadn't kind of immersed myself that I could completely leave yet. It was.
I bet the customers thought it was weird when they were coming in and going. I know you.
Yeah, I met Jim Nance in there once too, and it was really cool. Like a lot of the people who would come in, you'd get a lot of celebrities and stuff. Like, and you had to be really on top of stuff. But it's crazy to me that like when we met, we just were friends at the hotel, and then now it's just. It's surreal.
Is there ambitions for comedy outside of what you're doing with the golf?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know exactly. I love hosting. I really do. And we'll see. But to be honest, like the more that I think about it, and when Bob to Sports really started going, yes, there were so many ideas of other things that I wanted to do. I don't think it gets better than this. Like, even if you ended up doing something with like a TV network or whatever, like you then still have a boss, and you still have like right now what we're doing is so much fun, and I'm doing it with my best friends, to where the more I thought about it, in order to do something else as well as Bob to Sports, it would have to be such a perfect thing. 'Cause I really don't think it gets better. And I feel like there's a good chance that I could regret putting on a whole nother thing to what we're doing. And like, it's so good right now that grass is always greener, you know?
What was the Barstool gig then? So when you left the hotel, what did you do for Barstool then?
So they actually, my goal was always to work for Barstool. And at the time, Barstool was the spot. Like you were saying, it's like the biggest hub. Like that was cool. It's always what I wanted to do. And their CEO, Dave Portnoy, reached out to me. Finally, he DM'd me. And I remember coming back into my office, and I was at the Four Seasons, and I saw the DM, and I freaked out because that was always my goal. It's always what I wanted to do. So here it was, but I just moved out to LA. So he offered me a job, and he wanted me to come back to New York City. I was born and raised in Jersey, but he wanted me to move to New York City to be in their office full time. And I had met him, and I thought we had a really good thing going, and we had a really good friend group there. So it was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make on whether I accept the job. So I ended up turning down the job.
So you've been waiting all this time to get the offer.
Yeah.
And then you turned it down.
What was the actual job as such?
So pretty much a content creator.
Right.
And then you're in their office, and they have all different live streams that they're doing. Like you're there to create content, which is what I love to do. Mm-hmm. So So it was my dream job. And then I finally got it offered, and it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do, because I'm thinking, just like you said, like, this is my dream job. It's here. It's right in front of me. Am I really about to turn it down now? But I just think we had such a good thing going. And I just believe that if we did it kind of our own way, that it would pay off down the road.
But to some degree, I mean, the chase is always more exciting a lot of the time. Yeah. And was it quite exciting that you could almost, you got offered it, you had it on a plate, and you went, nah, I'm good. You completed what you wanted to complete, really.
Yeah, it's true. It, very, very nerve-wracking though. It really was. And I mean, I think Barstool would have been a quicker rise and would have helped the following even faster because of what they have. But yeah, I mean, to be able then to do it our own way and to turn it, I mean, Bob DeSports probably wouldn't be a thing had I not turned it down. But in the long run, I mean, it ended up being the best thing that I've ever done.
But also going back to that point, you'd have had a boss. You'd had multiple, maybe multiple bosses.
Totally.
You know, and actually, how do you etch your own future out of that, really? Because, you know, a lot of people that go into Barstool Sports, it's quite hard for them to kind of separate themselves from it if they need to, if they continue to grow. What's funny is you were mentioning about how you've always got your phone and you're always filming. Yeah. And I've even noticed this trip, just kind of you bring your phone up and you've just got it by your chest.
It's unbelievable.
That's one of the telltale signs.
He won't look at you either. He'll have the phone to like look this way. Sort of side eye.
I must admit, it's quite incredible. I really need to be watching myself this way.
Rick caught on quick, man.
He did.
One of the funniest clips, and you must be happy that you recorded it, when Joey was leaving that garage, that garage door.
Oh, that was tough.
What the hell?
Yeah, that was... I think that's had like it went crazy viral with like 40 million views.
It's the fact you jump over the laser.
Yeah. So what we didn't show was the first time that I did it, I actually tripped the laser in the door.
Yeah. I told him how it worked. So I told him how the lasers work. Like, you gotta get over the laser, and he just walks through the first time the door goes. I was like, I wasn't kidding about the laser. You got to get over the laser.
It's a laser that sends it back up.
Yeah,
right?
The laser goes across, up. You know, in case a child walks by.
I was also inebriated, so that should be
allegedly.
I think I've seen it. Is it on your Insta?
We'll
put it over the top of the video.
Most people would just step over.
Video.
And Bob has watched this video probably 10,000 times.
Is it on
mine. If you go on my... on my Instagram, it's like
you got it
right near the top.
Is it on yours?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's right near the top.
It's and absolutely
so that
hilarious.
Video happens. Then I get a text.
It's going to work. It'll work. Watch your head.
I mean, it's so.
Oh my!
It's so bad.
And there's an extended version where they pan back to Bob and these guys, and they just start dying.
And 2 weeks later, I get a text message from the Airbnb. This was an Airbnb in Palm Springs.
You must have brought the garage.
Yes. So I got a message that said we noticed the garage door. Don't worry, it's covered by insurance. You guys seem funny. There was a camera in the garage. Do you want the angle?
Oh,
and I said, yes, I do. It was like, I hope you or your guest is okay. Would you like the video? I said, absolutely would like that video. So there's another video from the inside of him running from the door. It's so loud. Yeah. It's so loud.
Comedy sound that when it hit.
And you know what? If anybody, with
people
all due respect, Joe,
I'm like,
if anybody, if that were to happen to anybody, it would happen to him. It really would. Like, that's the guy that it would happen to.
But that goes to show your instinctiveness to get the phone out and to record.
Well, that was
That would be him.
Oh, is that not
Yeah, normally it would. That was our other producer. But there's another shot of it where I didn't know that our producer, The Ticket, was filming that. He just decided to get out his phone. He saw it going down. He's like, you know, something stupid may happen. There's another angle where he does it, and then he turns to the car. You see Perez cracking up, and then you see me, and I look up and I realize that he got it, and it was like a kid on Christmas when I saw that he got it. It's like that's gold. I was so happy.
He was up at 5 a.m.
He couldn't sleep.
I was so happy as Joey was on the floor. Right.
Yeah. So it's probably 8 or 9 p.m. West Coast time. So still, how funny that is. He's still thinking it's too late to post this video. Like, I can't post this video right now. It's too late. She's like, I got to wait till the morning. And he was just pacing. I'm not sure you slept.
He could hear me in my room from the Airbnb giggling to myself and laughing. I was so excited to post it. And then with the walking around the neighborhood, I have this thing, and I did it since I was a kid. When I get really excited, I just start pacing around. Like, I need to start walking. So if we get a really good video that like we see a 1 out of 10 on YouTube or whatnot, I go outside and I have to start pacing around and walking. I listen to music and I get all jazzed up. I'm a nut. Yeah, I really am.
You seem to obviously get a kick from that kind of, the comments, probably the likes, the views, it's out there.
I obsess over it.
I think on that, what's exciting for us is yesterday was our first day of filming. We've got a video for Rick's channel, a video for your channel. There's some scrambles coming and the golf was impressive.
There was a good blend, actually. I felt very comfortable in your company. And on that, obviously I've been watching the channel for a long time. Like, yours and Joey's golf has become a lot better, hasn't it? A lot better. Not like, I remember seeing the Max Homer video and you weren't really, there was a lot of holes that you, it was kind of, no disrespect, it was kind of Perez versus Max.
Yeah, that's what it usually is.
But you guys yesterday really, really impressed me. I thought you hit it so good. Have you found your golf has improved over the last kind of 18 months?
Definitely Bob, for sure. I mean, I think you were
I'm sporadic.
You were a good bit better than him in the beginning. And I think you've gotten better, but he's closed a bigger space, I would say. So you guys are pretty competitive.
I know you're off one, did you say, FP? Are you off one
handicap? Yeah, like scratch.
What are you guys off handicap wise?
12, I'd say something.
I would say 9, 10 handicaps. Really? You hit it. Really,
there's
good
some speed from Joey as well.
Oh, he's got some pop. He's been playing amazing too. But when we had, when Perez came on, everybody says it's nice to have a mix where me and Joe stand over the ball. You don't know where it's going to go, and that's fun. But then you also have the good golf.
Mm.
I never really thought of it like that when Perez came on. Obviously, we knew how good he was, but then as it's panned out, it is cool to see the way that it's gone to have that to where. I think if me and Joe were just playing bad golf all the time, as much fun as it could be, some people would end up getting sick of it. So to have him and to have somebody that is that good, it's a cool mix.
It's funny you say that, because that's why Rick got me on the Break 75 videos, isn't it?
Just
really?
To make me look better. But to be honest, I think that's where you have got that perfect mix between that kind of relatability and aspirational. It's that really nice mix where you really impressed me with your golf yesterday. I didn't know fully what to expect. Like, even that first tee shot yesterday, Bob stands up there and you could notice himself you're nervous, and we just bashed a whiskey.
Whiskey might have helped.
It sure did.
You absolutely smoked one down the first.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But good news for you as well, though, Rick. Your game yesterday was just
good. I've been struggling a lot recently. Yes. My golf game's not been as good. Like, I've been really, really struggling. It was nice yesterday to kind of feel like I was hitting
some strikes.
Par 5, that second shot you made. That was dialed.
Yeah,
and your putter was good.
Yeah, it's getting there. So I'm excited about today. Hopefully the weather holds for us and it's not too windy. It's looking dry at the moment.
Yes.
We're doing front nine on my channel today, back nine on your guys' channel. What we're doing on yours, are we thinking about this kind of mini major style? Is that what we're thinking?
We're thinking either the mini major or doing a 2v2. So, I mean, either war. I do think the mini major at St. Andrews would be, at the old course would be pretty insane.
And the back nine is very, very interesting. Like you said, the 17th is anything can happen at 17. Anything can happen at 18.
I think what's exciting with this week, the collaboration week, and I said this to Rick when we were kind of planning it, that to some degree, other than the golf courses, obviously, do you really need that much planning? Because I just think the video is going to be so good. And from what I saw yesterday, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to have the first one out this week.
Yeah.
Maybe by Thursday or Friday. I think it's going to be a week of insane videos, and I actually can't wait to see them come to life.
It's going to be very good. Gents, I'm glad you've managed to come over to Scotland this week. It's been a pleasure. I put a list together of things that we need to tick off.
Yeah.
Let me just show what we've done so far, because I think we've done a pretty decent job so
Nando's.
Far.
What was your verdict on Nando's? You guys?
Nando's was great.
That was great yesterday.
That was good.
A cheeky Nando's.
Yep.
So Jiggering Pub.
Yes. Done. Did that.
Play Himalayas Putting Green. We've not done that yet.
We've not done that.
Show the Himalayas. An Indian restaurant.
I'm excited for that.
I don't feel like you've got Indian restaurants in America.
We do. I think they're definitely better here.
From what I've heard.
I've got in here Cheeky Nando's. Tick. Swim in the sea.
Wow.
Oh.
Ed was in there the morning after we went out drinking.
It's probably what he needed. It's probably the right move. Honestly.
How cold was it?
Shock to the system.
Was it really cold?
It wasn't really cold. It was cold. Not really cold.
And then I've put in here Dunvegan pub every night. Now we have done that so far. You guys, unfortunately, didn't. You had work to do last night. And then we're thinking potentially a fan meetup.
Yeah, yeah, that
potentially
would be cool.
if we can squeeze it in. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Be sure to jump over to Bob Does Sports. We'll put the link in the top line of the description. They've got to get to 1 million subscribers by the end of this year. I think it's absolutely only, there's no justice in the world if you didn't, if I'm honest with you. I think you're absolutely killing it. And, yes. You know, I think your growth is astronomical. And as you guys say, to the moon. And I think you guys will get to the moon. Right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for watching. And let's go and play the old course.
Let's get it.
Let's do it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.